Now, this week, a divided U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Tuesday of this week in a case about whether chaplains should be able to place hands in prayer on death row inmates during executions. The case before the court involves 37-year-old John Ramirez, who was sentenced to death for the murder of a convenience store clerk back in 2004. Some of the justices questioned if this would open up other requests and open up a Pandora's box, basically. Now, joining us with a legal and a Catholic perspective on this death row case for religious liberty is Andrea Picciotti Baer. Andrea is a Stanford-educated lawyer who has dedicated her legal career to civil rights and appellate advocacy. She's also the director of the Conscious Project and a mother of 10 children. Good morning, Andrea. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's good to be with you once again.
Well, it's always a great invitation to receive from you guys. I love accepting it.
Well, we're glad you're with us because you always give us a really great and a really Catholic perspective on some of these legal issues, especially when we're talking about the Supreme Court. Can you give us an overview of this particular Supreme Court case involving the role of chaplains in the execution chamber? What is the court looking at? What are they going to be deciding on?
Well, I really want to go back to what you mentioned before. In every case, there is an important context. And in this case, it is no exception. It's a death row inmate in Texas, John Ramirez. He was sentenced to death after the 2004 murder of Pablo Castro, a father of nine. Very, very humble man, worked at a convenience store. And Ramirez stabbed him to death as Castro was emptying the garbage out in the parking lot in order to steal what ended up being $1.25 from Castro's pockets. And the reason why I point that out is it's very easy to get into the kind of the big picture issues and forget the people behind these cases. Blessed be God, Ramirez looks like he's found religion in his time in jail, and now is coming to the Supreme Court after not being able to come to an agreement with Texas prison officials on the method of his execution. Now, this case is unique in that Ramirez is asking for his pastor, a Baptist pastor, to actually lay hands on him and pray audibly during the execution. Now, I found it very interesting. Texas allows the pastor in the death chamber and allows the pastor, Dana, to be able to accompany him leading up to that as well. So this isn't about excluding clergy care, but it's about kind of the moment of ending a man's life. And Texas raises some pretty strong arguments about wanting to control that as best as possible, to avoid any, what they say, could be grave catastrophes.
What is the state of Texas's position? What are their objections to that final moment?
You know, what they've said, and this has been a rule that's and a policy that's changed in the last few years, they recently allowed non-state employee chaplains to be in the execution chamber, but they have said, we can't have you touching him, and we can't have you speaking out loud. And their reasons for having that categorical ban is that this is, again, lethal injection by intravenous, and they're worried about any kind of touching to interfere with the lines, to any kind of closeness to Ramirez interfering with their line of view for their medical team. And if verbal prayers being said out loud, is that going to interfere with their ability to monitor the process? It's a very small death chamber. You know, it's very difficult to read all the details of the process that's gone through. One thing's clear, though, that they take it seriously, and they don't want any botched executions.
And from what I understand, Ramirez actually challenged this in the court, saying that this was a violation on his religious beliefs. Is this really the bottom line, what we're looking at, religious freedom?
Well, you know, this is a really important aspect. Prisoners, especially death row inmates, do have religious liberties, and there are protections under the First Amendment, as well as a federal law. It's called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. And it's kind of a companion law, very similar to what we know as RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that's the law that protects groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor from having to include contraceptives in their employee health plans. So as far as a legal issue is concerned, yes, there is a right to religious freedom. But if the government has a compelling interest to limit the exercise of that right, it can do so as long as it's doing it in the least restrictive means possible. Those are a lot of legal standards. And this week, when the Supreme Court was talking about that, you really heard, I heard, the justices struggling over deference to the state as well as respect for religious liberty.
And also the justices, some of them questioned whether this would open up other requests. What were some of the other concerns from the different justices? Can you kind of give us an overview of their different perspectives?
Yes, you know, this is a challenge when we're dealing with prison inmates. There are a lot of requests, whether it's ineffective assistance of counsel or challenging, you know, their convictions and raising these new claims on religious freedom, which are important and allowed under the law. The justices were concerned we're going to be a stream of cases coming in. And in the death penalty context, they're usually coming in the last minute. In John Ramirez's case, the claim that he's raising came to the Supreme Court on the date of his execution. The court stayed its execution, and this is the third time it's been stayed for Mr. Ramirez. And so the challenge is, are these legitimate claims? And typically, courts never look at the sincerity of a person raising a religious freedom claim. But in the prison context, perhaps there's a need to peel back the onion a little bit.
And I understand that Chief Justice John Roberts also asked a hypothetical question of an inmate, perhaps if he wanted to convert to a different faith just before he's going to be executed, it could take months, and it would just be another delay that would affect the prison system.
You're absolutely right. Now, Chief Justice Roberts is known for being concerned for the court as institution, as he should be. And he raised that issue. Is this going to delay things longer as someone goes through, for example, an RCIA process? But other justices were asking, you know, so what does he want? And it turns out, you know, Mr. Ramirez wants his pastor to touch his foot. He doesn't need to be as close to his heart or to where the IV lines are. And some of the other justices said, well, what's going to happen when someone says their religious belief wants them to be touched by their hand or on their head? Is every variation on a theme going to be coming to our nation's highest court? I think those are legitimate concerns. I think the justices all know the stakes are high. This is involving a man's life, and this is involving the victims' families who have been waiting for years to have closure as well. So it's not an easy case by any stretch of the imagination.
Our guest this morning is Andrea Picciotti-Bayer, a Catholic attorney, a Stanford Law grad, a mother of 10, and she's also the director of the Conscious Project. And so, Andrea, what is the Catholic perspective on this case? What does this mean, for example, for Catholic chaplains?
You know, I think that there is an issue, and I actually spoke with my personal pastor saying, you know, when you're giving last rites, how does that play out, the viaticum? Do you think that it's necessary in the exact moment of death? And many of us, as we know through the COVID pandemic, there are many people who were alone at the moment of death. Now, we do know that in our great tradition of the sacraments of last rites, they can be given and often are given before someone enters a very delicate surgery or if they're in an accident. And so it's a good reminder of the importance of last rites, the importance of clergy comfort, whether that needs to be at the moment of death or as someone is preparing. I think that our Catholic teaching says it doesn't need to be at the exact moment, but it does reinforce the importance of this kind of coming to grips with the end of life and that you have to answer to God and be ready for it. And that the church as church is ready to walk with people as they come to the end of their life on earth.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops also has filed an amicus brief in this case, joined by the Texas Catholic Conference, and they talked about the role of spiritual advisors to prisoners being of particularly grave importance at the moment of death. What's your perspective on what the USCCB is saying?
You know, I read that brief. I thought it was a really important, interesting contribution. And when we talk about amicus curiae briefs, those are, you know, friends of the court. And the USCCB and the Texas Catholic Conference definitely was a friend to the court in this context. It's saying the issues here aren't just the religious liberty of John Ramirez, but of churches as institutions, that this is part of the church's contribution to the faithful, and that the church has an autonomy to be able to be there and walk with the members of the faith. And as I mentioned before, just a few years ago, Texas prohibited all chaplains from being in the death chamber. And some of the contributions of the USCCB along the way were to say, you know, no, we really want to be able to be there as church. And so I do think that it was an excellent contribution. We know that within the church right now, there's a lot of confusion on the issue of the death penalty itself. I'm not a supporter, but I definitely believe as a Catholic that when it is going to be deemed lawful in a state, we want to do all we can to make sure that there aren't any of these catastrophes when it's being kind of run out.
And Andrea, there's been a couple of religious sisters and a priest and some Muslim, a Buddhist, and even a Unitarian Universalist who have gotten involved in this amicus brief in the Ramirez case that's been filed by the ACLU. What do you know about the perspective of these different religious points of view all coming together on this case?
You know, and it's not quite an issue in this case, in Mr. Ramirez's case, but on other cases in the last few years, there have been states like Alabama or even Texas where they only allowed state chaplains, state employees to be in the death chamber. And some of the cases, some of the states only had Christian or Jewish chaplains or rabbis deemed state employees. So there was a case of a Buddhist death row inmate who said, hey, I want, you know, my Buddhist minister to be with me. And he wasn't a state endorsed or state employee. The Supreme Court said, well, you know, we've got an issue of religious discrimination in that context. That's not what's going on in John Ramirez's case, but it is a very important issue. And you can see that across faith communities, people understand that when you are coming towards the end of your life, religion matters, and we want to make sure as a country to recognize kind of that pluralism, that we don't limit the ability of each person to have access as they're confronting, you know, their final days or final hours.
Andrea, I want to give you the final word. What's your gut feeling? I know you can never guess what a court's going to do, let alone the Supreme Court, but how do you think this case will be decided?
You know, I think that the court will reaffirm the importance of religious freedom for inmates, but it may be that they're going to send the case back to the lower courts to decide at what level this pastor's involvement in the execution chamber for John Ramirez is required by the law.
Andrea, as always, thank you so much for your Catholic perspective on these legal cases. Appreciate very much you being with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Have a lovely morning.
You too. Many blessings to you. Andrea Picciotti-Bayer, Catholic attorney and the director of the Conscious Project. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Dr. Joseph Meany, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, will be with us to talk about a couple that gave birth to the wrong baby. We will definitely talk about this case. Stay with us. There's a lot more conversation to come as Morning Air continues after this.